Hey Universe, welcome back to Power and Grace Radio. We are wrapping up the Open Special Edition podcast. This is post 18.5. I'm here with Spencer. Spencer, what is up?
What's up? Billy.
Oh God, the last one. I have to do something different for regionals.
That'll come up. Maybe it'll be like Willie.
Willie!
Philly.
As in the winner of the European
South.
Europe South. Yes. Yep. Willie Georges.
Willie Georges. That sounds like a pretty European name, man.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it. So for everybody listening,
it's pronounced funny. It's probably spelled different.
We're probably mispronouncing the entire thing completely because he's from France. Caught my eye that number one male. You know, when you have guys like Stefano and Boran and Fabio on the list, you get Willie. I was like, yes, that a boy Willie. Get your win from Europe South. All right, before we dive into the finale, 18.5 repeat. What'd you think?
You know how last time I said maybe he gave us a boring 18.4 for the really big buildup of 18.5?
Yep.
Yeah, I rescind my statement. I mean, it hurts. It's a classic 18.5. Meh.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be tested, right? Because it's just gut check. It needs to be tested.
It's a critical piece. But I mean, and I'll be straight. I might be expecting too much of Castro. Like, he's only got so many bags of tricks, first of all. At some point, you just got to test fitness, right?
Yep.
And so, for me, as a guy who likes all the tricks and the fun things and the wildness and the crazy and you know, wants to be entertained and all that stuff, that, you know, sometimes the boring tests of fitness are exactly that.
Well, I think he knew that he needed to do something like this, so we try to check to... What's the Joe Dirt term? I love it. Church it up with the vote, right?
Yeah, and that's what he did. And so I think my biggest beef, right, if I have to have beef, which I guess I really don't, is the Open. And it was a good test of fitness overall for the Open. My biggest beef is, like, I'm like a sucker. I'm a total sucker. Like, I totally get sucked in and trolled 100%. And he totally trolled me. All this thing about if you think you know what the Open is and you think it's in this box, everything, we're going to blow the box open. Everything's going to be outside the box.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be wild.
Crazy.
And right. Then it's just the Open again.
We're going to have like, a 100-minute AMRAP. It's going to be great.
I'm going to release 2 workouts a week.
Yeah.
And I, like, have all these theories and then it's just the Open. I'm like, dang it, Castro. Like, you totally played me. You overpromised and underdelivered. Stop that. You know, I guess that's my. I was hoping for some fireworks, but instead I got like Roman candles in the backyard.
Man, I definitely thought I had the shot called. I was like Babe Ruth at the plate calling it 2 weeks ago on this podcast. We need an intern producer so he can like pull up audio like while we're talking. So like, hey, yeah. Kid, pull up this from 2 weeks ago. I was like, I thought I had it figured out. I was like, I got it. Like, it's definitely going to be 13.5. I was like, got it. Nailed it. Like, I did all the math and everything. And I forgot about this one because I was like, it's going to be chest to bar thrusters. It's going to be a repeat. Duh. And I forgot about this one. But I was on the vote, right? So it's kind of like I called it.
Did you vote for this one, 11.6?
No, I wanted to be right.
What did you vote for?
13.5.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think – I don't know anybody that didn't vote for overhead squats besides, like, normal –
Are you calling that there's a little – something amiss here? There's conspiracy among?
No, I don't know anybody because the people that I operate with are all relatively high-level competitors.
Right.
But the regular gym member – hates overhead squats.
Yeah, no,
I despise them.
Right.
And so it doesn't surprise me at all that the overhead squat workout didn't get it, even though everybody I talked to was like, overhead squats, you know? And I wanted overhead squats, but...
I don't know. I still think
all
this
the
is...
ex-athletes who can't straighten their elbows over their head
right.
didn't want that.
Yeah. I remembering the two, I felt like this one was worse than the gate workout with thrusters and pull-ups. Because, like, you just got to get in there and be dirty for a long time. The gate workout, like, you can set your pace, knowing as you clear gates.
Oh, there's some, like, clear strategy involved with the gate workout.
Yeah, this one's just gross. So, but, you know, Dave knew which one everybody's going to pick. As soon as he laid it out there, he was like, he might as well walk back there and said, hey, guys, go ahead and set up for this one.
Because, well, and there's so many reasons that one won, you know?
Yeah, for the person doing their first open or the general CrossFitter, they look at it and say, oh, 3 and 3 and 6 and 6, that sounds way better than 15 and 15.
Right. And, I mean, and also, like, how many CrossFitters have come into this quote-unquote sport of CrossFit now since that workout, you know? A lot of them have never done it.
Right.
You know? And so it's a new – it's not a repeat for them.
Right.
It's a new one.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Right? So gross. I think there's a lot of reasons why it won. It just – not the one I wanted. Which, if we're going to give a theme to the open, basically that was it. Not what I wanted.
Right.
Not what I wanted. What I wanted is regionals in an open format.
Yeah. It's not there.
Which isn't going to happen.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, someone asked me just yesterday, it was like, what'd you think of, you know, the whole open? And I was like, you know, it's fun to get the new movements. Like, you know, that's always exciting to try to figure those things out and get them through there. But the overall program gave me a meh. It's okay.
But isn't that sort of
that's the open.
Isn't that sort of the open? Like,
once you've seen more than five of them.
I mean, that's just sort of it. Like, that's like being bored because the pitcher only pitches three pitches, a changeup, a curveball, and a fastball. Like,
yep.
That's, you know, we like get giddy if he has a slider.
Right. Oh my God, what was that?
Right.
Like, yeah. Yu Darvish has 9 pitches. We're like, what? What do you mean?
Right. Like, super. It's like the same thing with the open. Like, it's still the open. Yeah. I don't know why I personally, Spencer Arnold, expects the open to be anything but the open. Like,
right.
It's meant to be a test of the affiliate community. So, like, I'm ready for regionals. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's be there.
Yeah. Ready for that. For sure.
All right. So, leaderboarding, I guess we can like start with just this one so we don't completely skip over it. If anything pops out about this actual workout itself, that I don't know, Matt Frazier won, Josh Bridges also did well.
Did you see who won on the girls' side?
I did. Okay.
I'm just saying
she also finished second overall, number two.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, she only does the workout once and then calls it good.
Yeah, she's.
Now,
she's
that was last year. I haven't paid attention this year, but.
She's got some bigger fish to fry.
So, I mean, and I got a lot of thoughts about the whole leaderboard at whole, but like, she won that one.
Oh yeah.
Outright, 160 pounds with some chest to bar pull ups.
Yep.
This is it. I'm telling you. I'm for the 10th year in a row, I'm calling it.
Oh, man. Are we already making predictions? I wasn't prepared for this. I don't have my notes.
I mean, my predictions are easy. Look at the men's leaderboard. You're dumb to not make that prediction.
Wait, and hold on. intern, please pull up audio from 2015.
Stop.
Okay. Here it is.
Matt Frazier will not win the game.
You have it open? We're in the middle of the CrossFit Games, and Spencer's calling Matt Frazier will not win 3 days in after he's already got a lead? Okay.
Whatever. Let's talk about 18.5 specifically.
Okay, go.
I am impressed with Kara. She just, I mean, it's again, probably pretty good at thrusters, certainly an anterior loaded, squat for her. So I expected her to be, I think I said that last week, did I not? That she was going to be good at this one.
Yeah.
Just because of her body makeup and her physiological sort of composition. Overall, I mean, I think at some level here's two theories about the open. First, the reason we see this crazy mix up early is people are super emotionally invested in the open early. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like they give it their all early. They really go for it. And so we see some pretty crazy scores. And that's why we see some names that we've never seen before show up, right? But then after as the week the weeks log along, right? What happens? They get less and less emotionally invested, less and less interested, less and less concerned. They work just a little less hard, or they hit a workout that like completely demolishes them. And so at that point, they have no real reason to keep pushing hard. And so we see those names disappearing little by little. In theory, this workout, it's just thrusters at just chest to bar. People who did well in that first and second workout, in theory, because it's not a super high skill, should be able to keep up here. But if you look down the leaderboard, that's just like by and large, that's not what you see. There's a couple that slide in there, Ashley Schaefer, right? That slide in there. But by and large, these are all recognizable names on the leaderboard, you know? And why is that? Why is it on 18.5 versus 18.1, we have a bunch more recognizable names than we did at 18.1, you know?
That Rich Froning never took first place until they went to the stadium.
What do you mean?
Because now we're doing CrossFit. Like, we're doing bare bones back to, you know, give Rich the pull-up bar and the barbell. And now we're doing more CrossFit. And so I think now that's why you're getting a leaderboard shakedown is it's not as tricky. It's fundamental.
Could see that.
Right? Like, we're getting back to the real stuff. Look at the girls. Look at the girls. The CrossFit will always Dave Castro, because he's such a lover of, you know, all that is CrossFit, which he should be. But, you know, CrossFit protects itself more than anybody. And what is it going to reward? People who are best at the OG stuff, which is the girls. Go look at the girls. That's where you'll find people who are going to end up being really good. Because that's where CrossFit always wants to live, is on that list of movement. Those couplets and triplets right there.
Yeah.
Pull up and thrusters, deadlift and handstand push-ups. You just go down those lists, and that's where they want to live. Run, pull up, however it goes. But those basics, and those are the guys that always win. I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is basic CrossFit, but I guess when I look at the movement, and then I don't know. In the end, it's a little bit of a. It's a good reflection of the kind of intensity you trained with all year long, and also a good reflection. Like, look who got third in the men's side. Did you see who got third overall?
Yes.
Like Travis Williams is a I would put that dude. I would look, like there was an objective way to test some dudes. I'm sure there is some dudes' pain threshold. I put him up to against the test of anybody. Sure. Right. So, and it makes sense that this workout is a lot about pain threshold. I'm surprised. I'm really happy he did as well as he did. Yeah. I bet it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. I mean, I think that's the fundamentals of the sport. That's CrossFit, right? They always want to go back to, it's not, you know, even though we like these skill tests, even though we like weightlifting, those are both above on the CrossFit pyramid, above the metabolic conditioning. Always. Right. Like, it's always above that, no matter what. And so I think they always want to make sure they're keeping it right on there, that, okay, but really, who's got that? Who's conditioned? Who's conditioned to make it, to go push past it when skill and weight is no longer the object?
Yeah. And wasn't that the same test of 18.1?
I didn't see people in the corner, like, with, you know, looking at their hands with tears in their eyes after the first one. I am sure did in my gym on the first one. Right, but like,
I do think that there's a different, I mean, basic energy system training, there's a different test of conditioning.
Right.
Right. We're testing capacity in different ways there. Why is it that CrossFit, quote unquote, is more about the 7-minute chest to bars and that energy system?
But that's what it's about, right? How many, like, that? I mean, that's what it's really known. Do you ever, like, you know, you ever heard CrossFitters like, hey, you know, what's your Cindy score? Nobody cares. What's your Fran? Oh, okay, that's cool. Right?
What's your Murph, JJ?
Oh, I do care about that one. But I don't know.
That's a little different.
That's folklore.
You win. Yeah. It's not because
it's good. I like that workout, by the way.
It's about the commitment to the guy. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it is high intensity by design. So
yeah,
the ones that catch the most love and intensity and interest.
What's your griff score?
I don't know what any of my scores are.
That one's 800 meter run, 400 meter run backwards, 800 meter run, 400 meter run backwards.
Yeah, you'll never know that score because I'll never do that. Yeah, never going to happen.
We'll get that in the next training camp. That's an easy one we can do traveling.
Oh, no, I'm going to make them do it on an assault runner, though.
Run backwards. Wait, no, we're going to do it in the hotel room with the treadmill turned off.
It's terrible. Oh, you imagine running backwards for 400 meters on an assault runner?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd fall.
It's much a test of coordination as it is of aerobic capacity.
Yes. All right. All right. Overall, everything overall, finishing points like of the shakeup of everything. Now, we had the debate while we were offline that I was like, okay, really, the overall worldwide leaderboard doesn't matter. But I mean, these guys get paid. Yes, they get money for it. Event wins and then overall win. You know, they want some extra paychecks, and it definitely helps these guys out who are trying to do this full time. But in the grand scheme of things, I akin it to like getting power rankings for the NFL. Yeah, it's cool to see your team up there, but all that matters is the conference.
Sure. I said in return to wow, I got something for you. I think my response was, I think it matters to the athlete because of the mental boost, the mental win, the sort of morale and the momentum they're building going into the regionals.
Mm-hmm.
Being ranked worldwide certainly helps that motivation, especially if you're a games athlete looking to crack the podium or crack the top five. Very rarely do we see a lot of people who, you know, I mean, the guys who – I mean, look at the point spread between second place and first place in the men.
Well, yeah. I mean, gonna make a comment about that later too.
You would be a fool to not think Matt Frazier is going to win the regionals and win the games again.
Can I put Willie Georges on the podium?
Did you see his overall rank improvement? So he was 118th in the world last year. He was third in the world this year. Like, I don't know who this dude is.
He's coming.
He doesn't have any numbers.
I get a shirt. I just want a shirt that says, I'm for Willie.
Like, he was 20th in the region last year. First.
What are you implying? Are you implying something? Say it on layer.
Oh, I'm not implying anything. I think he's actually European.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Look at his profile.
Well, everything's in centimeters and kilograms.
Yeah,
so
it's a good.
His name's Willie. I like his. I like his style. Look at the spread. I mean, 440 from Alex Mignot, 97 to Matt Frazier. Yeah. Guys, like anybody, I love every person, every male that's just. But you're all playing for second, like every one of you. And I know you've got like all these guys probably had like Vellner probably has like a picture of Matt Frazier in his gym that he like puts in front of his squat rack to make sure to motivate himself. I'm going to beat him this year. I'm going to do it. Hey man, like that's important to be motivated. And it's important for you to believe you can, but as an objective observer who has no real dogs in the fight and on the men's side, like nobody has a chance unless Matt breaks his leg or somebody like kicks his knee out. I mean, that dude is fit. And 3 years ago, I mean, you know, I wouldn't have said any of that. I wouldn't have said that man is easily more dominant than Rich ever was.
Right. We can't get into the LeBron Jordan right now. We don't have enough time.
Well, you can't.
You can't.
Sure.
Yeah, you can't.
You sure?
It's different.
It's two different eras.
You can't. It's
two different caliber of athletes. Can't. It's different.
Yeah, you're gonna go to
different games, especially different tests.
Right. Where you know, of course, you know, we can go from Wilt. It's gonna be from one to the other. Right. So it's gonna be from Wilt Chamberlain, and then you're gonna talk about Magic and Larry, and then you're gonna go. There's no surefire way. I mean, everybody can say, okay, this is the guy, but There's no surefire way, except Rich does have the head-to-head at the games.
I'm going to ask you this question just to extend the podcast longer than you want it to be.
Okay. Okay.
Is Matt Frazier in his dominance good for the sport?
No.
No, I don't think he is either. I mean, I love the dude. I'm glad he's so dominant. And to be fair, if I could be that, 100%, I'd be that dominant. I don't care if it's family ping pong. And I'd be that dominant. But, like, I don't care about the guy's side. I know the end. Like, I know the answer.
But that's been how many years? Like, there was days. No, I just mean, like, with Rich, too, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was days that you know, Matt Chan and Jason Kalipa were giving him some runs. But like I said, you know, Tiger Woods wearing red on a Sunday, he came rolling to the stadium and it was like game over.
Right.
And so it does make it boring. There's never been the excitement that the women's side can carry. It just historically has it. It was like, thanks Ben Smith for popping in there, you know? Thanks for hopping in and grabbing that title right in between. It's like my little Dallas Mavericks jumping in there before the LeBron, you know, dynasty took over. Hey, great, we got our title now. You know, now here comes the super teams.
Yeah, now Dirk retire.
Yeah, no, I'd probably play for $10 million to play about 15 minutes a night. I'd probably do that.
I guess you're right. Anyway, my point is, I'm super intrigued by the girls' competition. There's a bunch of really good names. Yeah, newer absolutely. Ones. And it's a really tight spread. I mean, it could go.
The NFL and it's why football is so dominant, because every year your team, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, are rolling out there. Who knows, right? You have four teams in your division. You just got to get up to the top, and then after that, we'll worry about it, right? That's why it's fun to watch football. You know, you're not sure what's going to happen. And now the NBA is the male side is where, okay, we got like two or three teams. Okay, great. The women's side is exciting. You can go down this list and I'm just scrolling. I'm like, could they podium? Yep. 100%.
Yeah, agreed. It's super exciting. I'm not trying to take anything away from the guy's side, but I am taking away from
the guy's side. They're boring.
It's just, and until somebody proves me wrong, which would be awesome, for somebody to hear this podcast and be like, screw you, Spencer. Like, I can beat that dude and go do it. Until that happens, I mean, it's just boring. The girl side.
Dear Dave Castro, put the women's events all after the men's events at the game this year. Thank you.
Everybody, watching the finals last year, 100% that was true.
Oh my God, that finish. Are you kidding me? You couldn't script that in a movie. And then it's like, okay, now here comes the males.
Comes the males who actually none of them are trying that hard because none of it matters that time.
Over.
and the guy in the second heat won the workout.
It's like we're gonna immediately follow the Super Bowl with the Pro Bowl in the same field. Right after.
Exactly.
It.
Okay. That's exactly what it was.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think what I like about the girls is there's so much ability to like steal points and everything shift that it's much, much, much harder to pick who's going to win because, so many people on this list are capable of stealing points from so many people that leaderboard is going to change so much every event.
Did we get confirmation that Sam Briggs is going to go individual as a open?
Oh, there it is.
You can't have a good podcast without some creepy bell. do we have confirmation that she is going as an open individual, not as a master or anything? Have
you
heard that?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I don't know why she wouldn't go as an open. She keeps tapping on the door, you know.
Yeah, and every person
right there.
Well, yeah, and every time she does that, every other girl on the list is like, oh, well, there goes some endurance events. Crap. Points.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, she won a region, so get in there, Sam Briggs. You do it. You keep going with that engine. But yeah, it's shaping up to be an awesome year. We were talking about, I was asking you before if there's any surprises, male or female, that did not make their regionals, that they're sitting on the sideline for 11 months starting now.
Well, and that's part of that is remains to be seen, right? So, right. I'm stretching that a little bit. We're still waiting to see who goes team, how many will go team.
Mm-hmm.
The team dynamic is so different this year that We don't know if fewer or more will go. And so a little bit of that's like hurry up and wait. So if we have a couple, we have two, I think, that are sitting on the bubble, ish, right? Like what's the problem is I don't know what the bubble is. Like in years past, I've kind of known, like if you're within the top four or five, like I know what the bubble is. And right now it's like, are there going to be a ton go team or going to be nobody go team?
Right.
And so we're kind of sitting and waiting. I've got Chris Shimley sitting on the outside looking in, but he's in that guy. I mean, he's in that stack Central East region where, I mean, Chris isn't just the only one sitting. I mean, Dakota Rager, games athlete, outside looking in, Will Morad, outside looking in, like that region just is wild. If you took some, those guys scores, and I wish I were the mathematician and dumped them into like South Central and North Central and checked and see, like I bet they're in. That region's just this year. I mean, they had a nice little surge, a nice little comeback, and has had a pretty dominant open. And so those guys are on the outside looking in on that side. And then you've got over in the West, which is now just again became a much more competitive region. If you were a Northwest athlete last year, you know, think Montana, Oregon, Washington, that area. You had a little bit of an easier road to the regional than you did this year, where they dumped you into Cali. And so on the outside looking in, you've got Ashley Smith, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, is like, I think they take, God, I don't remember. It was changing the last time I looked, but she's probably six or seven spots out, I think. And so I'm like curious, like, is that too many? Is that not enough? I mean, I just don't know what the regional is going to look like. And what's going to go team? Yeah, Ashley is 41st, and they take 35. So she's six spots out. Like, that's right there. And I don't know. So those are the outside looking in. Those are folks. Just to be fair, Ashley was planning on not going to regionals this year. She's a perennial regionals person. The plan was for her to not go to regionals because she had a shoulder injury, and we picked her up this year. And we've been doing mainly weightlifting, and then she'll do like a class workout. That was okay and didn't hurt her shoulder. And so for her to even be in that position, I'm pretty happy with that. The only thing that, only one that I'm, you know, besides the ones I've mentioned already that really on the team that really hurt, Lauren Stevens got 61. Actually pretty happy with how she performed. First real year with her, we're learning a ton about her. And so, happy with her performance. I think we're going to see a big, big, big improvement in her in the next couple years, in the next year or so, as we start to figure out and see and assess what she needs to work on. But I think my big one is when I look at Ryan Smith in 67, and I know he's going to listen to this. So Ryan, I love you as I say this. I'm going to take full bear on this one. Castro got me. He totally gamed me. And I say this because I don't know that many coaches are willing to let their athletes know that maybe they were as responsible as they should be. But we just didn't attack his Olympic lifts. Granted, we didn't have the time we wanted to, so I picked him up later in the season. So some of that early off season where I really would have attacked his strength and his Olympic lifts, we didn't attack him like we should have. I didn't think they'd be as big a deal as they were in the open. I wrote it off. So good for you, Castro. You got me. And that clean, he cleaned 302 pounds in total and got 531st in the region. Yeah. Like, that's just not. There's the creepy bell again.
Yeah.
That's just unrecoverable. And then to make things worse, he gets the flu the final week. Him and Ashley both get the flu the final week and can't go in and put up a top performance like they're capable of on 18.5. So that's a tough pill to swallow. I say this every year, that the sports are so attractive because of the massive peaks of triumph combined with the massive valleys of defeat. I think about how crazy it was and awesome to like watch Logan and Christy do their thing last year and watch them be successful, especially, you know, Logan make the improvement he did.
Attention teachers and students.
Oh, yes. That's great. What did you do? Spencer Arnold, please come to the office.
How awesome would that be if he called my name right now?
Oh, man.
Right as I'm in the middle of like something semi-serious.
That would be great. I'd love it.
He sounds like he's listing off the entire school too. You hear all that?
Yeah, dang.
There must be like a ring of something that happened today.
Oh man.
Man, we definitely make him listen to that so he knows.
I definitely, yeah, we definitely, I definitely had an entire group of people get in trouble one time in school for sneaking something that shouldn't have gone onto a trip in a liquid format.
Yeah,
and man, we got one of those names.
I told y'all to watch out for that vitamin water, man. I told y'all.
Yeah, one of them had too much vitamin water and became very apparent that it was not vitamin water.
And yeah, then, that's why we got two cops at prom, man. That's why we got two cops at prom.
Straight Monday, it was like alphabetical order. Our entire gang was like one after another. I was like, oh man. But we held. We held. We did not break. Bring it.
That can't be said for many nowadays.
That's right. I don't know where I was over there just getting my skate on, you know, a couple skates, skate backwards, getting it all done, hydrating with some regular water. I got nothing.
There you go. back to my original point. My point was, you know, the triumphs, just watching some of the big triumphs last year combined with like some of the heartbreak we had last year, I think. As much as I wish it would always be triumphs, like the sport would be boring if you always won, right? Like if you always got what you trained for and it always turned out the way you thought it would. Not that I ever choose defeat, right? But sports in general are as intriguing because of the hurt of defeat as it is the like joy of winning. And so, I feel for some of those guys that are sitting on the bubble and some of those guys that are out this year. I think about Heppner, Rager.
Nice.
Will Morad, those guys just, man, I'm going to chalk myself up to a previous athlete, sort of washed up now. I just know what those feelings feel like, but probably not to the degree that they're feeling it right now. And so Shimley, even though he's sitting right there, who knows, just it's pain. And I it's both part of the sport and motivating for the next 11 months. Right. So think about Tia Wright. Right on the edge, flubs the last workout. Next thing you know, the year she's had training and the way we've addressed some of the mental approach to workouts, and look at her now, you know, third in the region, top 50 in the world.
Yep.
Very, 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 very good motivator for her. So
hey,
that's the open though.
Jocko Willink, setbacks are only setbacks if you let them be.
Good.
Boom. Good. Great.
Good.
Man, I'm listening. So I've read his field manual and obviously all his podcasts and stuff like that. Huge fan, but I've listened to his Extreme Ownership podcast, and which he does with another Extreme Ownership book. He does with another SEAL team member. Man, I just want that guy's voice. I mean, it changed the podcast. I mean, like it opens up. And he's like, "We're in Iraq, pinned down." I was like, "Oh my god, I want to be right into this." I'm like, whatever he's saying, I'm listening. He was, you know, he's like, night vision catches the glimpse of an outline of an AK-47 about 40 yards out. I'm like, oh man, whatever you say, I'm going to do for the rest of my
life. And the lesson to be learned from this is wear a purple dinosaur outfit and run around your community, and you will win.
Whatever it is, okay, I'm going to do
I'm
it.
In.
Okay,
let's go.
I'm in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's awesome. All right, man. About
5 weeks complete. I don't have to do one of these for another little bit, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to get some other stuff rolling for the podcast. Get some more interviews happening. Nutrition is coming up. We're going to get those ladies back on. We're going to talk food. We're going to talk like carbohydrates. We're going to talk keto diets. We're going to talk intermittent fasting.
Oh, no, topics. You're not.
Yes, we are. We're going to get in there. It may have to be two part. I don't know if we
can. Y'all are gonna you're gonna have to put explicit on that one.
Oh man, it's gonna get crazy.
You give those girls the opportunity to talk about keto and fad diets, and it's gonna have to be explicit. It'll be our first explicit.
I can't wait. I got new numbers last week from these ladies. I'm eating, man. I'm on that train with you right now. Oh buddy. Yeah.
You're not on this train, man.
What is it? What's your calorie intake at right now?
7,100 a day.
Oh my god, that's so much.
Yeah, that's not even the bad part is 1,000 grams of that is carbohydrates alone.
Oh my god, are you eating right now? Why are you not eating?
I am eating right now. I just finished two meatball subs and I'm eating some potatoes.
Oh man, that's crazy. You really? I thought I was.
I've got a turkey sandwich sitting on my desk.
I just really thought I was a hard gainer, and then I met you.
No, dude, I had this argument because women hate me, right? Because if I stop working out and I stop eating so much, I lose weight. They hate me. But I'm like, I tried to explain to a couple of women yesterday that, hey, listen, how would you feel if you started working out like crazy? You dialed your diet in perfect, did exactly what you're supposed to. You worked out real hard for 2 months, and 2 months later you got on the scale and you had gained 12 pounds.
Right.
You'd be furious.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happens when I do everything right. Nothing.
Nothing. Zero.
Nothing happens. Zero. I ate 7. I'm force feeding myself, working out working my tail off, and nothing's happening.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I get you. I'm not quite at that level of not, but I'm hoping I'm going to, well, I mean, you saw my before and afters. I was also.
You need to get Joe in here to talk about that. Joe and I did the same diet one year together with a bunch of maltodextrin added in a bunch of stuff. He gained 40 pounds. He looked like a bowling ball. He's 190 pounds, dude.
Joe, that's great.
He's 155 now. He gained, and I didn't gain an ounce.
Oh, nothing. Man.
Awful.
Yeah. Just, and then there's Phil. He's just going to be jacked all forever.
Always.
All right, man. That's cool. That wraps it up. All right, we'll do this again. Later. Yeah, when maybe some regionals get ready to regionals, roll out. Regionals,
hey, big week. You got central. You got like central east region or central regionals, Cali regionals, and USAW nationals on the same weekend.
Oh, that sounds fun for you.
Well, I'm going to nationals.
Right.
We have a full women's team.
Yeah.
Have to.
Right.
So we'll be sending the boys to the regionals. But
yeah.
That'll be a fun one post all that.
Yeah, I wonder which one Coach Wayne's gonna go to. I guess we'll find out.
Coach Wayne needs to go into retirement for making fun of me.
Oh no. Just keep those shoulders over the bar. All right.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.